This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
The world would know. Say, what's going on with that group? They're crazy. You know, there's no way that person can hang out with that kind of person, you know? All different colors, different race, and, you know, different personalities. It's, how did you become friends with those people? No, we're not friends. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what united. We are united by the grace of God, by the love of God, by the blood of Christ. And we so desperately need this love in the house.
Being part of God's big family is bound to be a little crazy. You are a part of a mix of all kinds of different peoples and nationalities, and you may not look like or get along super well with every single person you meet. However, Pastor Eddie reminds you today that you are called to be part of Christ's example, set apart from the world to redirect people's attention toward Him. Reflect Jesus in everything you do, and He will take care of the rest. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 as he continues his message, Living for God.
Above all things, that's the reason why it says above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Above all things, what is the greatest commandment? Remember, they try to trap Jesus. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they try to trap Jesus, you know, because they're over 600 or 613 commandments. They figure they could trap them. They say, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he's like, okay, let me see, number 413. No. You know, see, they missed the mark. They missed the point. Jesus says, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbors as yourself. Because if we love God, we don't have to worry about all the commandments. Because I love God, let's look at the Ten Commandments. Because the commandments are vertical and horizontal. If I love God, I would not have no other God before Him. If I love God, I would not create an image. If I love God, I would not, you know, take the Sabbath, and it could be any day, it could be every day of the week, by the way. You see, and if I love my neighbor, I wouldn't want to kill him, murder him, that is the right word. I don't want to lie to him. You see, love, it's if you focus on love, you don't have to worry about looking at all the commandments. Just concentrate on the two commandments. And Jesus said, upon these two laws hang all the laws and the prophets. And they missed the point. They missed the point. They want to try to fulfill, which is impossible to fulfill, even the first one. Man has a hard time fulfilling the first law. Loving, have no other gods. I mean, now we may not call it God, but they're God in our life in the way that we spend so much time in it. And we know what that is. We know what consumes us. You know what takes up most of your time. You know that whatever it is, the object, hobby, person, whatever it is, if you have to choose between getting down on your knees and praying to God and what you have that other God, what would you have a desire to fulfill? And so, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Now, the love here that Peter used is the agape love. We use the word love in English for a lot of things, and that's the reason why it's good to look at the Greek word, because we could use love for I love my wife, I love pizza, and I love my dog. Two different things, three different things, you know. It's a different love. But the agape here is, in a sense, is a selfless love, it's an unconditional love. And that's the love that he uses here, but it's to be fervent. It is the same love God has for the world when he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. It's the same Greek word, agape. And this here, the love that God tells us to have, that Christ teaches us, is a commandment, not a suggestion. We understand that. It's a commandment, not a suggestion. Jesus never said try. I know Eddie is difficult, but try to love him, okay? It's not a suggestion, it's a command. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it's a new commandment, not that it's a different one or he's adding, but it means it's a fresh commandment because they misunderstood in the Old Testament, the Pharisees, they misunderstood what love was all about. And Jesus had to kind of teach them, you know, again, what the commandments meant. And so Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as, and that's important. I should have highlighted that there. If you have it in your Bible, underline that. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And how much does Christ love you? Look at the cross. That's how much he loves you. That's how much we are to love one another. Obviously, we can't love the way God loves. It's impossible. Impossible. But it's not a suggestion. It's a command. If we do not love one another, listen, if we do not love one another, you know. And then you could just play the role. You could fool people. You can't fool God. God sees all things. He knows all things. But if you don't love the way God tells us to love, this is what the Word of God says. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, John writes this, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's heavy. Do not love, you don't know God. And that's true in whichever way you look at it. Because if you know God, you know your Bible, you know that you're to love. It's a command, not a suggestion. And here, it's a fervent love. The word fervent in Greek, it gives you, it's an athletic word for athletes. It is to stretch and to reach out. As an athlete would run, stretch and reach out all the way as much as he can. And that's what it means to have a fervent love, to do your best in your part, to give that agape love. Don't say, I'm going to try. He or she doesn't come to me, so forget about it. You know, I'm waiting for them. You know, if there's a problem, I'm waiting for them to ask forgiveness. No, you forgive. You make every effort you can to love one another. This is the love that is so desperately needed in the house of God. More so. That's why Jesus said that they would know that you're my disciples by the love you have for one another. The world would know. Say, what's going on with that group? They're crazy. You know, there's no way that person can hang out with that kind of person, you know, all different colors, different race, and, you know, different personalities. It's how did you become friends with those people? No, we're not friends. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what united. We are united by the grace of God, by the love of God, by the blood of Christ. And we so desperately need this love in the house. Now, in the house of God, this is where, well, we know the problem, church, is because of people, right? You know, and we sometimes get together so often that we become like family, right? But what happens when we, you know, love a brother from the family, a brother or sister, you know, your blood brother or blood sister, you have an issue and, you know, sadly some of them don't get together, but you can forget all that because you're family. Why is that not in the house of God? But we're to love one another, and it's so desperately needed. And so Peter is saying, listen, we all going to suffer. We all going to suffer. Let us not forget that we have this battle with sin, and let us not forget we need to serve the Lord. And how we do that? By serving the Lord. We serve one another, and love needs to be the heart of it. Above all things, we have fervent love for one another. But I love what Peter adds to this, this command, if you will, to have fervent love. Look what he says. He says, love covers a multitude of sins. Because the first thing we think about, when we think about loving someone, we think about how we've been hurt or how we've been scarred. But this way, it covers a multitude of sins. That's real love. That's real love. Yet someone doesn't have to ask you for forgiveness. You already forgiven them. And we should practice that. Somebody offended you, hurt you, forgive them. Because I want to be right with God, and I do want to be right with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want that relationship to be healthy and strong because we need each other. More importantly, the world is watching this family of God that's been united now, which is much stronger than the blood of family. The blood of Christ is much greater. And so the blood that of Christ that unites us as brothers and sisters in Christ is greater than the blood that you related to your brother, sister, cousin, whatever. It's much greater. If you understand, and I'm kind of doing my own study on this, on family and the family of God, because you see the term sons of God way before family, and God always had this family mentality. We see sons, we see fathers, we see that in the heavenly realm. We see it. Christ, he entrusted his disciple. He says, woman, when he was on the cross, he said to his mother, woman is a term of endearment. It's like saying ma'am. He says, behold thy son. And he's talking about John. Son, behold thy mother. Now, why did Jesus entrust his mother to an 18-year-old? Because he was 15 years old when he started to follow Jesus, when he had half-brothers that were much older than John. When they looked for Jesus, they said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And Jesus says, who's my mother, who's my brother? And he points to his disciple. He said, here's my mother, my brother, my father. He said, this is my family. So it's important. We need this. So when we have a agape love, a fervent love, we love as brothers and sisters that is greater than any of your relatives. And that's in the eyes of God. That is biblical. I'm not trying to separate you from your family, by the way. I'm just letting you still, you love them. But I'm just saying how serious the house of God is, the brother, sister in Christ. And this love, it covers a multitude of sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 5. I encourage you to read chapter 13 because it is called the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is called the love chapter. Read it. Read it and know what Paul's saying here. But he says in verse 4 or 5, he says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. In other words, when we look at all this, love keeps no record. And that's what unconditional love is. That's what agape love is. It's not I love you because if or when or because. I just love you, period. Even if you sin against me, love you, because love covers a multitude of sin. Now, it does not mean that we're to cover up and hide sin under a carpet or rug. On the contrary, if we see a brother and sister in Christ that is going against things that are in Scripture, because of love, we want to bring correction in love by the Word of God. And that's because I love you, I want to tell you, hey, listen, this is wrong. This is sin. Because I love you. And there's a proverb that says, wounds from a friend are great, is better than a kiss from the enemy. It's a great proverb. Wounds from a friend, better than a kiss from the enemy. Because we love one another. He said, listen. And we need to be careful because quite often, we could point out sin because sin looks, really bad when someone else does it, but not when I do it. And then we start to, I'm going to bring correction. And now you're the police. You're like the sin police. You're a sin sniffer. You're a heresy hunter. And, you're a fault finder. And no, that's not what it's talking about. We help each other. And we encourage one another. But what it does mean is that we're able to overlook even the minor faults and failures of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Overlook them. If it's a sin that you create, let them know, hey, you offended me here, but I love you. I just want you to forget. Just let's deal with this differently. And that's what I mean. And can you understand? I don't think we understand the power of the love we have for one another. The love we have for one another could be the greatest comfort we can have here in the house of God, in the family of God. As we're going through trials and tribulation, we need each other. We need each other. Listen, and it's not only, I'm suffering or that person is suffering. They should go see the pastor. Go see the leadership. Go ahead, go. We're to do that. You have the same Bible I have. You know, you serve the same God I serve. We have to have the same love. Our love is not different. It should be agape love. And it's not only the job of a pastor or the leaders or those that are always in the church. We are to encourage one another and love one another, help one another. It's not only the fervent love of a pastor, but it's all of us. And so have fervent love for one another. Because listen, we're getting some really tough times. I mean, I don't know. I just got tired of watching the news. I'm not a headliner. I don't like to read the headlines and not get to understand the facts. You understand? But it's definitely, I don't pay a second or an effort on celebrities. It's a waste. I don't understand. Like 2/3 of news is about celebrities. And sports, don't get me wrong. I love sports, don't get me wrong. But I don't. That's not my religion, you see. But I see someone, and if I see the headline, okay, that's obvious. Oh, that I know. I'm not going to spend time because it's all the same thing. It just keeps getting worse. I don't want to keep my eyes on the news of the world. You know, I mean, Billy Graham would say in his day, he says, you know, a Christian should have the newspaper in one hand, the Bible in one and the other. And that's not to say that he put it equally, but so we can see how the Word of God has made all these prophecies of all this lawlessness and all this sin that is taking place around the world. But that's a different time. You know, it's just, all it is, it's just demonic. It's just evil. Why am I going to waste my time with it? And so we need to love one another. We need to love one another because we're dealing with hard times and we need each other more than ever. So number one, be sober. Number two, be watchful in your prayers. Number three, have fervent love for one another. And number four, be hospitable to one another. Look at verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You know, in those days when Peter wrote this, you know, there weren't hotels and motels like the way we have today. Like, if you could throw a rock and you hit a hotel and motel somewhere in the United States. It wasn't like that then. All they had were inns, and they were hard to find. And if you did came across an inn, it had a bad reputation for ungodliness. And Christians wouldn't even go there at that time. And so the early church, what they would do is if they were traveling and they came across a Christian home, you know, they would be put up for the night. And it wasn't a problem. It was okay. It wasn't like, oh, who's this? Oh, I got to change the bed sheets. Oh, I got to clean the house. I got to do all. It wasn't like that. They were put up for the night or two. And you know, it wasn't a problem. As a matter of fact, it was a pleasure to have that. Oh, we have guests. All right. Guests was a big deal. I mean, this is before television. This is before video games, card games, you know. This is like, you know, I don't have time for guests. I got to play my video game. I made it to the next level. You know, it's like, really? And it's sad. You know, the word hospital comes from the Latin word hospitalia. Hospitalia. Which means an apartment for strangers and guests. That's what it was back in those days. This before it became a place for medical treatment, hospitalia, hospitality. And this practice of hospitality was enjoyed by the early church. It was a big deal to have a guest. That's why they were always ready, always ready. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, it says, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 2, it says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Every believer must be hospitable. We must invite people to the house. Bring people to the house. Make it a habit. Oh, this day we're going to have a guest. This day we're going to have a guest. You know, when I had my home in Orange County, New York, you know, the church that I was a part of, you know, the youth would gather in my house and it was great. You know, they would hang out in the swimming pool, have Bible studies. And then sometimes it was late and I would tell them, hey, listen, of course, the youth pastor was there. Judy and I are going to bed, just turn off the lights. And my daughters were there, and everybody would come to my house. And people, my neighbors would say, what is this? Just like we had a baptism in my house. Everybody in the church was invited. And my neighbors are still talking about it. Some have come and visited. Some have now part of the fellowship. And that's what we should be. And I tell you this, when I sold that house to move here, my realtor was the best realtor in the region. He was number one. How I got his name, I can't tell you. But he was able to sell. And he says, listen, I'm going to tell you. Houses, I'm going to show you a few pictures. It was like four or five homes that were in my area, close to the price range, almost similar to mine. He says, somebody's house been here. I had 7 months, 8 months. I sold my house in less than a month. And the woman that bought the house, she says, I hope I have the peace that you have here. She sensed the peace in the house. Sense of peace in the house. And everybody will come and stay with a sense of peace. Because my house, no trash comes in. Nothing, you know, no crazy programs, you know. And people sense that. So if you want your house to be blessed, all I'm saying, keep bringing people to your house, you know. Keep bringing brothers and sisters and have fellowship there. And here's what he says. Do this. This is the hard part. Do without grumbling. Without grumbling. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 is to do all things without complaining and disputing. So be hospitable to one another. So number one, be serious, be watchful. Number three, have fervent love for one another. Number four, be hospitable to one another. And number five, and finally, number 10, minister to one another with your gifts. Let's look at verse 10. As each one has received a gift, past tense, and understand that. If you're a believer in Christ, and you're sitting here, you're reading this, it's telling you that once you receive Christ as Lord, a person saved, you have a gift. And he's writing like, you should know this. You have a gift. As each, verse 10, each one has a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every single one of us have a gift. Now, the word gift here is the Greek word charisma. It is used 17 times in the New Testament, and it means a gift of grace, a favor with which one receives without any merit of his own. So you can't like earn this, unlike a lot of false teachers on TV, prosperity teachers. You want the gift of this? You want the gift of that? Well, for only $99.95, I can show you, or I have this power to impart it into you. I thought it came from God. Don't believe that. Don't spend a dollar. It's free in the Bible, and God gives it freely. And he gives who he chooses. And what the gifts he gives is depending on what he thinks you qualify for. Whatever gifts you qualify for.
Thank you for listening to Running the Race. Pastor Eddie's currently in 1 Peter, a book so many of us can relate to. Between unexpected circumstances and our own feelings, we're prone to not handle life well all the time. If we're honest, persevering in unjust situations is the last thing we want to do. But it's what God calls us to do. The next time you find yourself in a troublesome situation or your feelings threaten to take over, remember to persevere. Push through. So your faith grows and is that much more rooted in God. Isn't it nice to know that even though you experience injustice, God sees it and he knows your heart? If anything you've heard today has you wondering or has prompted some questions, would you get in touch with us? All of our contact information can be found on our website, runningtheraceradio.com. Here's Jessica to tell you more about how you can partner with us.
Prayers for this ministry would be so appreciated. The opportunity for the lost to be reached over the radio is incredible. So please pray for our listening audience and that what's shared will alter people's lives forever. Another way you can support us is by prayerfully considering giving in a financial way. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into producing this program, and we're grateful for all who are willing to come alongside us to support the creation of each program. If you feel led to do this, you can find a Give tab at runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. We look forward to spending more time with you, our listeners, on the next edition of Running the Race.